You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Today I want to talk to you about God's beautiful journey. God's beautiful journey. The Bible gives us this assurance in the book of Ecclesiastes that He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to the end. The Bible says God has placed eternity in your heart. He's given us a heavenly assignment to live here on earth. Heavenly assignment. That's why we have to know what heaven is saying about us. This world that we live in, it's like a coin. It's got two sides. There's the spiritual world and there's the natural world. The spiritual world is the place where God's glory is. It's the place where the name of Jesus works in the spirit, where all things are possible. It's in the spirit where we worship God in the beauty of His holiness. It's in the spirit where all things are possible. That's why when you worship God in spirit and in truth, it just feels like everything is possible. But then there's the natural realm, where we try and figure God out in our minds. Have you ever tried to figure God out with your mind? He drops something in your spirit, and now you're trying to make sense of it here. Joseph, your brothers and your father, everybody is going to bow down before you. You cannot reason that out in your natural mind. So are you ready? Can I show you a little bit about this God's beautiful journey that He's got for your life and what it's all about? Peter is a very good example from the Bible. Man with so much fire, zeal. Jesus is busy asking questions and He says, "Who do you say that I am?" Matthew 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I mean, that's a strong statement. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." This revelation that you have about me is not something that you figured out for yourself. God in heaven revealed it to you. I mean, who of you would like to be the man with the revelation? Let me just see your hand. Yes. The next thing, Jesus gives him a prophetic word and encourages him even further. He says, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it." Wow. Peter loved the praise of Jesus. And all of us, when we get a word of encouragement, it's wonderful. A matter of fact, he goes on and he says to Peter, "Not only am I going to build the church and use you as an instrument, but I'm telling you, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. What you bind will be bound, what you loose will be loosed. In heaven, you're on earth." So, and Peter is the man. I mean, when you listen to that, that's a beautiful life. Everything is just going to work out. But here comes the next part. A beautiful life is an obedient life. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. If the praise of an individual lifts you up that you feel higher than other people, or it makes you feel like you're in cloud nine, be very careful if that person says something contrary to what you want to hear, because then it will pull you down completely. Don't think too much of yourself and don't think too little of yourself, but know what Jesus Christ is thinking about you. Because the next instruction that Jesus gives Peter is not what he wants to hear. Jesus says, "Don't tell anybody what I've just told you." Matthew 16, verse 20, then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. You mean, Peter, when you've had a big revelation and you've received a word of encouragement and praise, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to tell everybody. Jesus says to Peter, "I don't want you to tell anybody." You mean, I cannot tell anybody that I'm the one with revelation from heaven? I'm the one that God's going to use to build this church. I'm the one with the keys. He says, don't say anything. From here, he's taking it to a next step. Peter's about to get the shock of his life. The man with the praises from Jesus, with the prophetic word from Jesus, with the encouragement from Jesus, is trying to do good. And Jesus brings correction into his life. Matthew 16, 23. And Jesus turned on Peter and said, get away from me, you Satan. Huh? What just happened now? You are a dangerous trap to me. You are thinking merely from a human point of view and not from God's. Family, listen to me. When you try and figure God out from a human point of view, it's a recipe for disaster. How would you like if I called you a Satan? Probably won't come to church again. Put me on YouTube. I want to submit to you, if you want to fulfill this beautiful journey that God has planned for you, you have to be able to receive praise from Jesus, but also correction from Jesus. If you can only receive praise and only want praise, your life can never be formed, your character can never be shaped, and you'll probably never reach your full potential. Turn to the person next to you, say, praise and correction. Peter was quite upset because remember, he was only trying to do good. The person that praised him, the person that gave him a prophetic word, the person that encouraged him came now and said, I have to die. And Peter said, never, ever. Who's going to encourage me? Who's going to praise me? Who's going to give me a prophetic word? And he says, you're thinking and looking at this from a natural point of view instead of getting heaven's opinion about this. You cannot figure Jesus out from a natural point of view. That's why sons and daughters of God, they are led by the Spirit. They walk in the Spirit. We often receive revelation from heaven, encouragement from heaven, and the next minute, correction from heaven. Can I tell you this, that if you look at your challenges and your difficulties, problems, whatever you want to call it, from a natural point of view, be very careful, because it can also be a trap from the devil. Am I talking to the right people here? Some of you are looking at challenges that's been frustrating you, making you negative, making your heart heavy, because you're looking at it from a natural point of view, thinking that this is there to frustrate me, to irritate me. Am I talking to the right people? You don't have to say amen. You can just double blink at me. In order for you to receive your full potential, you need praises and correction from Jesus, so that he can shape and form and mold you, so that Jesus' name can be glorified in you, with you, and through you. You will not grow if you only seek praises. Anybody that gyms will tell you it's the resistance that shapes you. Big muscles, big weights. Big calling, big preparation. So Jesus comes to him. He gives him praise. He gives him encouragement, but then he gives him correction. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, the word became flesh. It manifested, and we could see its glory. So guess what this will do? When you read this, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Can I have one amen? We don't just read the Bible to lift us up. We read the Bible to give us instruction. Listen to the next part. For instruction in righteousness. media, just put Psalm 141 verse 5 on the Bible quickly, because if people don't see it, they won't believe it. It says, let the righteous strike me, it will be kindness. Let him rebuke me, it will be like an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. Is that in the Bible? Yes. Because instruction in righteousness is not a... It's a touching my heart, filling my heart with the righteousness of God is the kindness of God. He who knew no sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let him rebuke me. Let him correct me. Because correction is like an excellent oil. If you're moving away from the anointing, the Holy Spirit, by the power of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, will turn you back. Correction is like oil. Let my head not refuse it. Turn to the person next to you, say, a beautiful journey. Go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 17. Let me finish the reading of the scripture. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want to be thoroughly equipped? Ready for every good work? Then this has to become the standard for your life. This will bring praise, and this will bring correction. You need both from Jesus, not just the praise. If you go to a place where there's just praise, you're going to make it. You're going to be great. You're going to be a millionaire. You're going to be a billionaire. But you don't have character for all of that. It will destroy you, and that which is supposed to be a blessing will become a curse, because it will take you away from God instead of bringing you closer to God. Why is Facebook and Instagram and these things, you just want a thumbs up? Heart. Smiley face, we just like you and love you. But if your child is busy doing something, do you always tell them, that's great, that's good what you're doing, just continue to do it? If they start playing with matches, what are you going to say? Oh, that's good, that's fire, I'll play with it, light, we like light. No, be careful, you're going to burn yourself. Put it away. Nobody wants to go through tough times. Nobody wants to go through things that are not nice. We just want nice. Amen? But if it's just nice, how will you be shaped? How will you be formed? Some of your beautiful moments have been some of your toughest moments where you came through those things victoriously. Family, listen to me. Without exception, the Bible says God lets everything work together for the good of those who love Him. That means it's going to be a beautiful journey. God is busy working in us and with us and through us, so that we can have a beautiful journey. Amen? Romans 8 verse 28. Can I tell you something? What if the things that have been frustrating you, irritating you, causing resistance in your life that is not nice, is not there not to frustrate you or irritate you, but it's there to train you? It's there to train you and to shape you so that you can be obedient. There's no such thing as a beautiful life without obedience to God and His heavenly calling. If Jesus, the perfect one, who never did anything wrong, had to go through things that are not nice to teach Him to listen and to obey, guess what? We are going to have to go through things like that to be taught obedience. So what if the things that are not working out is not because anybody is against you, but for you to be trained to be obedient? How would your mindset change when you look at difficulties? Then it's not a stumbling block, but it's a stepping stone. Look at Hebrews 5 verse 8. But even though he was a wonderful son, turn to the person next to you, say, you look like a wonderful son. If it's a woman, say, a wonderful daughter. Or just tell them, you look wonderful. Hebrews 5 verse 8 says, but even though he was a wonderful son, he learned to listen and obey through all his sufferings. You know what? The sufferings and the difficulties that you are going through, it's not to frustrate you, it's to train you. Am I talking to the right people here? That's why in every situation that you face, reach up, run to God, reach in, and reach out. I read an amazing scripture this week. And I'm going to show you now from a few scriptures, reaching up, reaching in, reaching out. Grabbing and holding on to the spiritual realm of victory in Christ Jesus. And how we manifest heaven's atmosphere here on earth so that your journey can be beautiful. Are you ready? Isaiah 57 verse 15. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. For this is what the high and majestic one says. The high and majestic God that is high. He says, I'm speaking to you. The one who fills the eternal realm with glory. The realm of victory of Christ Jesus. I fill it with glory. Whose name is holy. I dwell in high and holy places. God is saying, listen here. I'm God. I'm holy. I'm high. The Bible says the rock that is higher than I. God is so pure and so holy, so perfect, so righteous that we cannot get to him. Just give me one amen. Look what he says now. But I also with the bruised and lowly in spirit. Oh my word. He says, this is who I am. I'm holy, I'm righteous. I fill the heavenlies with my glory. But I'm with you here where you are bruised and when you are down and when you are feeling hurt, I'm here with you. You've had a great week. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. He says, I want to manifest that right here where you are. He says, those who are humble and quick to repent. Say, precious Father, grant unto me a humble heart. Grant unto me a heart that is quick to repent. He says, I dwell with them to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of those who are broken over their sins. You will not find me continually accusing them or holding anger against them, lest they feel defeated and lose heart before me. For I am the one who gave the breath of life to my people. Listen, your family. On this earth, you're going to sometimes lose heart. You're going to sometimes feel like you are broken. That's part of the journey. But God says, I am the giver of life. And when I breathe life, ruach, into that situation, it's going to start to change and I'm going to make it beautiful. Who do you run to? When you reach out to God, God will change that situation for you. The disciples that were walking with him heard this man speak about spiritual things, speak about God's goodness, his glory, that they even came to a place where they said, just teach us how to pray that we can make it. And you can go read Matthew 6. He says, your Father is aware of what you need even before you ask him. But this is how you pray. Matthew 6 verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. What is he saying? He says, listen, when you want to pray, focus upon God's name. Because in that name, there's power. Every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He says, focus upon the name. See, focus upon the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And focus upon the will of God. Is that what he's saying? He's praying that he says, this is what you pray. Pray heavenly things. Focus upon this heavenly realm that's filled with my glory, where the name of Jesus works, where all things are possible. Then he goes right from there to give us this day our daily bread. Now that verse has got two sides to it. It's like a coin. It's number one, give us our daily bread. It's our food. But number two, Jesus said, man shall not live of bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what links the spiritual, the supernatural with us here? It's the word of God. It's Jesus. So I want to tell you, if you want to live a victorious life and have a beautiful life, Lord, give me my daily bread. Give me revelation for today. And you know how you get it. You know how God speaks to you. You read this. This is the word, because this word, Jesus, came to this earth, died, but he was made alive. And it's a resurrected Jesus Christ with resurrection power on the inside. So when you say, give me my daily bread, you're saying, give me resurrection power in every situation that I face today. What's the next thing that he says? He says, forgive me my debts. Forgive me my sins. Guess what? When you focus upon a heavenly calling, focus upon his name, focus upon his kingdom, you're going to make mistakes. Turn to the person next to you and say, everybody makes mistakes. Now tell them, but God forgives all of them. When you ask him, he doesn't just do it. He has died for our sins, but the Bible says we ask for forgiveness. Then he says, forgive those that have wronged us. That's what resurrection power does. As Jesus has forgiven you, you can forgive. He's saying, I know that when you focus upon the name of Jesus, you focus upon the kingdom of God, and you focus upon his will. Sometimes it's tough to even put bread on the table. Am I talking to the right people? Jesus says, I know it. That's why I want you to pray for it. Then from there, it goes into spiritual warfare. It says, lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from the evil one. It says, I know these battles are going on here. And then he takes him right back and he says, get your focus right. For yours is the kingdom and yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. What is he saying? He says, if you continue in this way, I'm going to make it beautiful. More than anything, this prayer is not just a prayer. It's a pattern for you, how you can live. But it's reminding us that Jesus is going to make it beautiful for you. Amen? Now when you go pray this prayer, you'll look at it completely differently. Amen? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants to manifest heaven's atmosphere in your life, so that it will become a beautiful journey. Amen. Can I tell you something? Value the process more than the results. Value the training to become obedient more than the results. Never let your situation make you frustrated. But when you look at that situation from a heavenly perspective, you'll see it's just training to become more obedient. I heard somebody once said, a bad attitude is like a flat tire. Unless you change it, you cannot move forward. Sometimes when you're in a bad situation and you are writing a lot of tests of obedience, it's easy to have a bad attitude. Oh Lord, why me of all of these things? Let me tell you something. When you change your attitude concerning what you are facing, your life will change. The truth is, there are many people who would love to jump into your shoes right now. Where you are complaining, I'm going through this and this and that and this. Let's say, okay, let's just change places. It's the way that you look at things. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You need to get an eternal perspective of what you are going through, because God is busy making your journey beautiful. So appreciate the process and don't just focus on the results. Get heaven's opinion about your situation. Think about Peter, Luke chapter 5. Peter's disappointment of not catching fish whose nets were empty, who worked the whole night, became the appointment for him to meet with Jesus. For God to take him from where he was to where God wanted him to be a normal, ordinary fisherman, to become a fisher of men. If he had caught the fish that he wanted, he probably would have said, "You guys clean the fish, I'll see you tomorrow." And he would have walked off that beach and missed his appointment with Jesus. Turn to the person next to you and say, appointment in disappointment. Think about Joseph. If Joseph did not protect his heart, if he did not have a heart that is quick to forgive, he was misused and abused by people like nobody. His brothers abused him. Potiphar's wife lied about him. The king threw him in jail. In prison, he brings a word that brings restoration to the cupbearer. And he says, "Buddy, please don't forget me." He says, "Don't worry, I've got your back. I know what you've done for me." 2 years goes past. He doesn't help him. Then suddenly remembers, "Oh, there's Joe in prison. He can interpret dreams. Let's call him." If Joseph was bitter and he stood there in front of the king, he could have said, "I can help you, king. I've got the answer that you need. How badly do you want it?" He says, "I want it." Anything. He says, "Okay, the cupbearer dies, then I share." How can, when God has called us, and as a God that brings life and life in abundance, but the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy, if he was bitter, he would have killed that cupbearer. He would have killed his brothers. And would he have had a beautiful life? No. Hannah, in the Bible, if she continued just to cry out to her husband, "Give me a child, give me a child, give me a child," and did not start crying out to God, would Samuel be the child of promise who prophesied and not one of his words fell to the ground? But a mother praying, seeking God's face and opinion, changed everything. Family, listen to me. Jesus can feel what you are feeling. He's the one who has begun the good work and will complete it so that the journey of your life can be beautiful. I'm closing with this. James chapter 1. Passion Translation. My fellow believers, turn to the person next to you, say, he's talking to you. When it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to express the greatest joy that you can. The King James says, count it all joy when you go through various trials. Verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. Turn to the person next to you, say, I love the process. The process is making me strong. Verse 4, and then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being, until there's nothing missing and nothing lacking. Who of you want nothing missing and nothing lacking? Embrace the process. Embrace the process. Can I tell you something? Real lives, that when you look at them and it seems like it's perfect, it's gone through much suffering. Don't be fooled. Perfect lives that glorify the name of Jesus have gone through much suffering. There are people that thank God in difficult times, that give God praise in difficult times, that count it all joy when they go through various trials, because they know God is busy with a journey making their lives beautiful. James goes on and he closes with another beautiful journey. Verse 11, we honor them as our heroes because they remained faithful even while enduring great sufferings. We honor them because during the process, they continue to honor God. And you've heard of all that Job went through. And we can now see that the Lord ultimately treated him with wonderful kindness, revealing how tender-hearted he really is. We know the end intended by the Lord was to make Job's journey beautiful. Family, it doesn't matter what you are going through right now. Get heaven's opinion. The things that are frustrating you, don't look at it as a frustration, but look at it as training for you to become obedient, for you to be able to listen to God. When you receive instruction in righteousness, I mean when heaven touches earth, your situation is about to change. It's not so much what you go through, but how you go through it. Do you know what the Bible says about Job when he was going through his tough time? Job 1 verse 22. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. In everything, Job continued to give thanks to God. The promise is Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. God will make it beautiful in its time. Your life is a beautiful journey. It's all about being obedient to God. When you're obedient to God, you'll eat the good of the land. When you're obedient to God, you'll experience more of the Holy Spirit in your life. When we obey the Word of God, God works in us, with us, and through us, and He makes everything beautiful.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.